Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Books Show, episode 464. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, living in the future as we are, it is going to be March in a couple of days. No, it's already March because I'm looking at the calendar. Today is March 1st, according to
It's very March 1st. Extremely March 1st, yeah.
How do you feel with it being March? We're 2 months into the year. Do you feel like some of your intentions for 2023 have been, you've been working for them?
Oh, yeah. No, my year is off to a great start, which is unusual because the trend has been that January, I have the best intentions and everything goes wrong. So that didn't happen this year. February, really off to the races with the Kickstarter. And I think I'm actually going to finish all my tasks for the first quarter before I take my quarter break. So I need to be knocking on all of the wood right now.
All of the woods.
But yeah, it's going good. Happy with it. What about you, Brian?
That's really good. I'm glad to hear that. For me, yeah, I mean, I think my intention initially to kind of start the year was about thinking before I necessarily take a bunch of action and try to remove extraneous actions. And that's definitely been heading in the right direction. I'm giving myself more space, more time to think. And I think that's been healthy. I think the pitfalls I've run into are still trying to come up with too many ideas that widen rather than deepen the existing things I'm working on. And so that's still something I'm definitely trying to overcome, but I think the intentions of thinking more and doing less, I've been headed in that direction, so I feel good about it.
That's great to hear. Thinking more, doing less. What? As they say, don't just do something, sit there.
I love it. Yeah. It's my favorite. One of my favorites. all right. So we got a question of the week here from 2 weeks ago. How do you decide which author lane to stay in, or do you move between more than one? Shane Kowaliak, I'm not sure. Sorry, Shane. Said, I prefer to travel by boat. Lanes are for less creative people. Ooh, I like that.
All right. Cody C. Engdahl said, fortunately, I love my lane. I write historical swashbuckling adventures set in the long 19th century. I might someday delve into other eras, but I'll still fundamentally write the same kind of books.
Very nice, Cody. And Adrian Carley said, there are lanes. Why didn't anybody tell Adrian that there are lanes?
You can treat him like an Austin driver and just kind of drift a little bit, though.
Ooh,
you
know, yeah, the Austin drift.
Yeah. Love that. Love that Fast and Furious. Austin drift.
Austin drift is the 11th one, I think. It's the 11th
one. Oh, I am so excited for the 10th Fast and Furious. Fast 10. But the fact that they didn't call it Fast 10 Your Seatbelts is really eating at me. Right?
At least
a tagline.
I'm surprised they didn't call it Fast 10 Family. Just family.
I love those movies so much.
Oh, I know. They're so great. All right. Well, let's get into top story of the week. Why some authors fail. The fear that authors hold on to can sometimes make themselves their worst enemies, according to Christine Catherine Rush. Quote, they take classes, they try a few things, they talk a great game, they might know everything there is to know about writing / publishing / agents or whatever holds their interest, but the one thing they do not do is write, end quote. Or at least they don't write for publication. Many writers write, but worry about what will happen if they actually publish their work. It's not conscious, but somehow they don't get to the writing, or they don't publish their work, or they don't mail it to an agent. Quote, if you don't try, you can't, if you don't try, you can't fail, says Rush. If you don't put your work in print, then you won't have to see what readers or critics or your friends will say about it. These fears are paralyzing for many writers, end quote. Arguing with logic doesn't work here, Rush says. If you see yourself in this and you really, really want to be a published writer, then you need to get professional help. And that professional help is not another writer or a writing teacher, but a therapist. Quote, I worked enough on myself with the help of a therapist that I can see where my mother's fears triggered my own, writes the author. Let me tell you from experience, it's easier to stay off stage than it is to deal with one's personal BS. She didn't say BS. But staying off stage is a lot less satisfying than overcoming the blocks, whatever they are, to achieving your dreams and goals, end quote. And we can replace here, they don't write with they don't write what readers seem to want. They don't write to market. They don't market in this particular way. It could be a whole bunch of self-publishing terms inserted in there. Doesn't just have to be traditional publishing. But the idea that another writing coach or class may not be the answer, and that dealing with your internal demons may actually be the answer, felt like something that Claire and I would love to discuss. Claire, do you agree with Christine Catherine Rush on this?
Yeah, I usually do. Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely a trend. And what I see when people come to me, and my author alignment is not therapy, but I will point people towards some patterns of their type that they can then go inspect with their therapist. I think everyone should have a therapist. I think you and I have talked about this before. I made it one of my goals to get everyone on my soccer team into therapy. And I think I've done a really good job.
That's
I think
awesome.
There might be one or two who are not in therapy. But anyway.
But it's like the keeper. So you're never going to get the keeper in.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. And the keeper needs it the most, as we all know.
Yeah, exactly. But
the thing is, people come to me a lot of times when they're in crisis. And there are some very, very basic things that are commonalities, which is the patterns that got you into this mess are not the ones that will get you out of it. They will only get you deeper and deeper. They may get you out of this mess and into a bigger mess later on, right? So you have to look at the patterns and recognize them. And the second part of that, which is the least fun one, is that changing your patterns is going to feel out of control. Because we create those patterns for a sense of control over our lives. And as long as we're doing them, even if they're destructive, at least we know where they're going to get us. So changing the patterns is out of control, as all transformation is. It feels out of control. You're not going to be able to do it perfectly, whatever that means. And so a lot of people will not take that next step. And I think that is where a lot of people don't publish because, or don't do the thing that they know they're supposed to do because they are scared of doing something that will be out of their control by taking that next step, by putting themselves out there in a way that they're not used to. So yeah, there is a lot going on when people aren't publishing, when people are running into the same problems over and over again. It's not going to be fixed by doing the same thing you've always done.
Yeah, I think back to in my mid-20s, I was trying to write but was running into trouble, and I actually consulted with another author. And I said, what do I do about all this fear? Because I had a lot of fear around all of the things I was trying to do. And she said, oh, well, fear actually can be a thing that's pointing you in the right direction, not just the wrong one. And I was like, what? And I have made sure like that this is part of my plan to talk to my daughter about when she's old enough. A couple things. Practice makes you better at things. No one really got that through my thick skull growing up. But this other point of fear is not necessarily something to avoid. Now, for me, someone who's done improv and is quick on my feet and rushes into things, that kind of a reassurance was helpful for me. But for someone who's on the other side of the Enneagram, who is careful and consistent, and they in their strengths, they have things like harmony and consistency and all of that. That their ability to change those patterns has got to be really, really hard. And because it feels like they're doing it wrong. And a lot of people in this world don't want to ever feel like they're doing something wrong. And so this is something that will take and may take a lot of time to work through, but it needs to be worked through if the goal is more important than you repeating the same patterns.
Yes, the pain of repeating the patterns has to become greater than the pain of trying something new before anyone will do anything. And I think you and I were talking before we started recording this episode about what we can and can't control. And I think Chris hits on a really important point of people are afraid of putting themselves out there and saying, I didn't get the success I wanted. So you have to find ways to live in this world where you control the definition of success. So success is not going, putting your work out there and having other people receive it a certain way, because you can't control that. Success is putting your work out there. That is your success. So yeah. You have to redefine what it is into something you can control, which is, publishing it, and take that, Stop putting that metric on other people's reactions, because maybe they'll be good, maybe they'll be bad. Probably they'll be good and bad. That's usually how it is. So, take back that control and redefine success if you're struggling with something. If you're saying, okay, I'm afraid I'm going to mess up the marketing. Well, maybe you're successful in marketing if you learn the platform and just learn some basics about it. That is success. So I think that's another thing that you can do to sort of move away from that fear, is stop putting your happiness in the hands of other people and things you can't control.
Yeah. Music to my ears. I'm glad we talked about this. A couple of hot potatoes of wisdom, piping hot out of the toaster oven. Like, I'm thinking like a dorm room toaster oven. It's like,
you know
the picture there. So Claire, what are some of the signs that you're afraid to put yourself and your books out there?
You're not doing it. So if one of the signs that you're afraid to put yourself out there is that you're not putting yourself out there, that you're coming up with a lot of reasons. And so not everyone is as in touch with fear as other people. Some people misinterpret fear as other emotions. They say, oh, it's just not ready yet. Or I need a little bit more time. Or no, I'm not scared. I don't think that the world's ready for it. I don't think it's ready. So there's all these different reasons, and they all come back to fear, some sort of fear. You're afraid that something is going to happen if you do it. So the best sign that you're afraid to put your books out there is that you're not putting them out there, or that you're putting them out there very quietly and then just reaffirming, oh, nobody wants this book because I put it out there and nobody wants it. Girl, nobody knows about it. That's the thing going on. So I think that is the clearest sign that it's just not happening. Whatever, if you notice that it's just not happening, I need you to look at your reasons. You're calling them reasons. They're just excuses. They're just, sort of repackaged fear. And I need you to look at that and address the fear and see how you can take that control back into you rather than, leaving it to the universe.
Claire, I want a new book called Girl, Nobody Knows About It. I would love that book. It's the sequel to Girl, Wash Your Face. Girl, Nobody Knows About It.
I don't know that that's the brand that aligns with mine.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
All right, Brian, I need a hot potato from you. And this is like a the smush potato, the little russets that you just smush. That's what I need from you. Delicious, moist, well-salted. Yes. Yeah. Okay. What strategies have you used to work on your fear and put yourself out there?
So the strategies I've used to work on my fear and put myself out there, so many of them take place in therapy. I want to second both Christine Catherine Rush and Claire that you need someone to talk to, someone neutral who can spot your patterns. This is one of the reasons I've been going to the same therapist for a long time. They can spot the patterns a mile away so that you can then start to point out the patterns yourself. And so even if it's not a therapist, even if it is just someone that you get to discuss this with who will not lie to you and who will not yes man you, that is the kind of person you need in your life, you need in your corner. And if you surround yourself with those kind of people, even better.
Yep. Agreed. We all need someone to call us on our BS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's called being an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we've got a lightning round. These are lightning bolts. You know, the sound effect is good when you have to clarify what they are when you're doing them. So
it's alive.
It's alive.
The lightning round is alive.
Claire. When you've put a book down for an extended period of time, you were writing this book, you put it down for an extended period of time, how do you re-engage with that project?
Okay, so when I've put a book to the side for a while and I'm coming back to it, I can re-engage with it by rereading it. It feels like I'm reading someone else's work. I'm usually much less critical of it. When I've had some time and space away from it with my comedy, it usually makes me laugh. So that's a good sign. I get my own humor. That works out well. But reading it, and also for me, I like to consume a lot of media in a similar vein. So I put Alice Luck aside for a while. And the way I came back was reading a bunch of books on, you know, quantum physics and watching sci-fi stuff and just getting myself in that headspace. So I think reading your own work is a great way to re-engage with it.
What sci-fi stuff did you watch to prepare for Alice Luck? I'm
interested. Well, I watched a lot of like Netflix shows, and then let's see. A recent one was, I'm way behind on Archer, but I recently started watching the Archer season that takes place in space. Yeah,
I saw that season.
And I was like, oh no, these jokes are so good. You know, I can't use any of them now. So yeah, that was a few weeks ago. But then I like to read a lot of Sean Carroll and Brian Greene and Stephen Hawking. And you know, I went and saw Neil deGrasse Tyson speak. So that's kind of stuff where I take the sort of content, the baseline content, and I think of how it could be stupider.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And I make jokes about it and how I can make it absurd and take the concepts and apply them to just human emotion. I like to take astronomical concepts and physics, you know, concepts from physics and apply them to human emotions. So
that's awesome. I enjoyed the Orville, the Seth MacFarlane show. Apparently the latest season was like a lot different than previous seasons, and it's very good. And what I watched was really good. So,
okay. Maybe I'll have to absorb that for the fourth Alice Luck book.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I took us off, but I think you're asking me a question now.
The lightning is subsiding. Okay. How much does your writing software matter to your writing?
I don't care that much about writing software. I think that too many authors, to go back to something we said on the show before, too many authors are using finding the right writing software as an excuse that is going to solve their writing issues, when really those issues might be internal. I don't think the right software is usually going to fix a problem. For me, I just use TextEdit, or I type into my Neo 2, my Alpha Smart, and then I get rid of it. I just get it out. Whatever we have to do for me to not even be looking at a piece of software, that makes me happy.
Right. So. Yeah. The problem is usually not the writing software. It's something else.
Yeah, exactly. And keep thinking of the Taylor Swift song. So, Claire, what is your best tip for breaking a pattern that's keeping you from writing all that you want to? You have certain projects in mind, but there's a pattern that is stopping you. What do you do to stop that pattern?
Okay, so the number one thing that someone can do to break a pattern that's keeping them from writing all they want is to notice the pattern. That's it. That's it. Notice that it is a pattern. So this could be where you need some help from someone else saying, hey, isn't this a thing you do all the time? Maybe it's not reality. Maybe it's just a thought that got lodged in your brain at some point and it's just kind of BS. So every time you start doing that, you get better and better at noticing, oh, I'm doing that thing again. And then it becomes just a thing, not reality, because that's really what challenges us is that we start to believe that these patterns aren't just weird little glitches of our personality, aren't just, you know, adaptations to live in a society that we've developed, but are the mechanics of the universe. So noticing them is the first step to not being, you know, beholden to them.
I like that. I like that a lot. We got really into physics there for a second.
Yeah. Physics and emotions. It's all the same.
Love it.
All right, Brian, what's the most common mistake authors make when advertising their books?
The most common mistake authors make when advertising their books is assuming they're going to get results right away, because it's always a delay. There's always going to be time. I mean, think about the way sales come in. Sure, if a sale of a book or a sale of a paperback come in, you're going to see that show up in the next couple of days. But if someone reads it on Kindle Unlimited, they might not open the book and actually get you money for weeks. And so it's really hard to, in 2 days or 3 days, see the results. And so I think the biggest solution is patience, is looking at the big picture of things, how much you spent versus how much you made, really looking to take your time, because taking your time is the biggest way to succeed.
Totally agree. Yes, take your time.
Take your time. Take your time. Claire, our last lightning question.
Lightning bolt.
Oh, I'm out of mana. What is the best money that you ever spent on your writing career?
This is going to be very specific. The best money I ever spent on my writing career was buying a ticket to the first Smarter Artist Summit.
Mm.
And it's not just because that's where we met, Brian.
I thought it was just because where we met. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Best money ever spent to buy a friend. No, it is. I think it was just that it was the first conference I had been to in person. And I think that it opened my eyes to the vast possibilities of doing this strange job. And it introduced me to the people who would be that emotional support and that, you know, all kinds of support, cross promotion, all kinds of things. But it was where I started building my network. And so I think for anyone, the first in-person conference you go to is going to be the best money you ever spent, unless it's like not a good conference. But, you know, I would say find a small 200 person or less conference and just go to it. Spend the money, go to it, and meet some people.
I love that. Because you're really right. It's like that first conference where you see, oh, I'm not the only one doing this, is very, very eye-opening. You're absolutely right.
And, oh, the way I'm doing it is kind of not the smartest way to do it.
Yep. Yep, we've all been there. awesome. Well, good stuff. Claire, we've got a question of the week we've got to figure out. Why haven't you gotten therapy?
Give us your therapist's number.
Yeah, I know. Let us confirm that you have been getting therapy. How should we ask this kind of question about connecting with yourself and identifying your own patterns and all of that stuff? What's a question you think we should ask?
How about, what are some of the things you do when you realize your writer's block is stemming from fear?
I like that. I like that a lot. So what do you do when you realize your writer's block is stemming from fear? What are some of the things you've done? Great question, Claire. You can answer the question over at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group and over under the Sellmore Book Show.
Under the overpass.
Over, under, around, and through at sellmorebooks, over, under, around, and through.com in the comment section for episode 464. I knew the URL was too complicated, Claire.
We should have shortened that.
We should have shortened it. Sell better than less books.
Sell more than zero books.
More than zero. Oh, man. So, Claire, what's coming up in March? Anything that people might want to know about?
Yes, as I look at things. Well, I will continue fulfilling my Kickstarter stuff. So if you backed, right, you will be getting more stuff. I also have a retreat coming up, but I'm opening it up to existing clients first. But nice. If you are on my email list, you will hear about it. If there are openings, which there might not be because it's only 10 people. So it is an exclusive retreat.
So exclusive.
So exclusive. It's so hot right now.
That's awesome. Definitely. If you're not on Claire's email list and not subscribed to all of the things, go to ffs.media. Go figure it all out.
go figure it out.
Get your that life should together. Totally be your tagline.
It'd have more four-letter words in it, I think.
I think you're probably right. And for me, I've got a book description webinar coming up on Thursday. There's all sorts of stuff. We've got some fun things on dictation and other stuff coming up in March. So definitely pay attention to my list. that's my tagline. Pay attention. Just pay attention.
Definitely pay attention.
Great show for Claire. I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week for episode 465. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Books Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling!